chapter 4. I'm glad I know the peace speaker. Amen. We're going to pick up where we left off last week. Somewhat. Kind of rehash a little bit. There's so much on the subject of spirits. So much. And I'm amazed how many Christians don't know nothing about it. And the Bible tells us to be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The devil's always looking for somebody, especially he wants to get a trophy of a saved person that's not living right and won't listen to God, won't listen to his word, and just go out and mess with and listen to unclean spirits that's whispering in, or watching. I said last week, you pick up unclean spirits by what you hear, what you see. You pick them up. That's why you come into church. I can feel it this morning. And I realized the devil knew what I'm going to talk about. The devil knows what I'm going to talk about and preach about. He knows it. So what I'm trying to do as a pastor is trying to enlighten you so you'll be more aware. Some of y'all are already aware of it. Be more aware of what's happening around you. And what most people don't realize, what's happening around you, you got these things whispering in your ear. And you can be saved and still have an unclean spirit whispering in your ear. And before long, you'll start listening to it. And you'll start following it. And there's a spirit it's called, the Bible calls it a seducing spirit, and it calls it spirit of divination, a haughty spirit, a disobedient spirit. We went through that, and the Bible talks about David said, create me a right spirit. You got every man and woman in here, every child, everybody in here. You got a body, soul, and spirit. You got your three parts. You're a spiritual being. You are a spiritual being. And inside, as a spiritual being, you're made to worship something. You are made, you're going to worship something. And if you don't worship God and the God of the universe, you'll worship the devil, or you'll worship man, or you'll worship a house, or you'll worship a car, you'll worship a business, you'll worship whatever. You'll worship anything other than God. And what unclean spirits try to do, and I've said this before and I've repeated it a million times, what the devil will try to do is he can't get your soul, but he'll get your life. He'll get your ear. He'll get your eyes. Some people hooked on pornography. They sit there and they do day in, day out. And they'll look at pornography. Is it got unclean spirits with it? And every show, every movie got some bedroom scene. They always got something going on with sexual. And I always said this, the number one God in America is money. Number one God. Money is, we was looking at about China last night. We was watching the documentary on China and Vietnam and all that. And the number one God is money. Everybody wants money. Number two God is sex. Number two God in people's lives is sex. And number three God is education. That's number three. But I said this last week, if a person's filled with the Holy Ghost, the Bible says this in Ephesians chapter 5, it says, be not drunk with wine when it's excess. Be not drunk with wine. Wine and spirits, like they go down to the liquor store, you go down and get to the spirit store. Or drugs, pharmaceutical, is like wizardry. Wizardry. Now I realize some people got to take medication. But a lot of people abuse it, and they see things. I had a friend of mine. We used to sit around, and he would tell about stuff that he would dope out of his mind, and he would see all kinds of things and scare him. He'd run and call the police because he'd seen unclean spirits, and they were floating out by his window, looking at him, pointing at him with hoods on, and all that stuff. And this man, he was doing LSD back in the day, and when you start messing with that stuff, you start getting into a spirit world. And people start hallucinating. They start running from things. But if I said this last week, if God could open up your eyes today and to look into the spirit world and see what's around you, it would scare you straight. It would scare you to death. It would make you want to get close to God as close as you possibly can to protect you. And the Bible says this. It says, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to thee. Resist the devil, and he'll flee. So then it says, casting all your care on him over in, about in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So the Lord wants, as a child of God, if you got saved, God expects you to grow and learn a little bit about the spirit world that you have to fight. And most, if you don't, look, let me tell you this. As a Christian, as soon as you got saved, you're in a battle. You're in an army. It's the army of the Lord. If you don't know who you're fighting, good night, man. You're just, you don't know which way. So you just stand there. You become prey if you don't know who you're fighting. And a lot of times people think they're fighting their brother or their sister in the church or at home or something like that. If you don't know who you're fighting, my God, you're going to be devoured. And the Bible tells you that. So the Bible says, look at 1 John chapter 4. Look at this. I'll do a lot of studying on this. 1 John chapter 4 says, beloved, believe not every spirit. Don't believe everything that's going through your head. Whispers. And a lot of times, like I said, you got a body, you got a soul and a spirit. You got a spirit, a man, the spirit of man. And what happens is the spirit of man can attach to something other than God. The Bible tells us that you were dead in your trespasses and sin. Your spirit was dead and you got saved. I'll show you that in a minute. But it says, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. So then it likens false prophets to having bad spirits on them to teach a lie, to teach you a lie, to teach you something that ain't true and try to pervert you and try to mess you up, seduce you. And that's what they try to do. And that's why if you're not reading your Bible, Brother Kim was going through that in Sunday school about how important it is to read Bible. People sit there like this, I don't like reading. I didn't like reading either. I learned how to read by reading the Bible. My wife taught me how to read. I didn't like reading. I still don't like reading. I forced myself to read. And the more I read, the more I like it. When I finally sit down to read, I like it. And I like reading the Word of God. I like studying it because I don't want to be ignorant. The Bible tells us not to be ignorant of the devil's devices. The devil's got devices. And like I said, you better realize who your enemy is. And the Bible tells you who your enemy is. Now, can y'all tell me who the enemy is according to 1 John? The world, the flesh, and the devil. Three enemies every Christian has. You say, the world ain't my enemy. Then the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things in the world. For all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. It says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If you love the world more than you love God, the love of the Father is not in you. It says the world is enmity against God. So if all your hope is in this life, then you're really not grown at all. You're just an ignorant baby Christian. And I'm not trying to be smart. I'm not saying that. But the more you read your Bible, the more you understand what plans God has, and you see the way things are happening, and then you understand a little bit more about the spirit world. You understand when the devil shows up, when the enemy shows up, when he's trying to divert you, trying to mess you up. That's why the Bible says, try the spirits to know whether they're God or not. And you need to know. You need to know. It says, believe not every spirit, because many false prophets are going out into the world. And then it says, hereby know ye the spirit of God. See, if you're saved, the Bible commands you to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, when you got saved, you got God's spirit. When you got saved, you got filled, got God's spirit. But your spirit can overpower God's spirit. And what has to happen to a man or a woman, you've got to yield your spirit to God. Amen. Just like your body. You've got to yield everything to God. So, Lord, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Then it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Most of our battles are right there. And the spirits whisper in your ear. Your battles are right between your eyes. And the Word of God, when you get that Word of God going in your eyes and goes in your mind and you start memorizing things and you start saying, okay, God, I see it now. I see where it's happening. And why people say, well, you're just, my father used to say this to me, you read that Bible, it'll make you crazy. I said, Dad, I found out reading the Bible makes me sane. Reading the Bible will make you sane. If you're not reading your Bible, you're insane. You're mad. You're not reading your Bible. As a Christian, that is. Jesus cast unclean spirits out of people. And he said, there's a spirit in man. Job chapter 32. Look at Luke chapter 9. Well, actually, stay right there at 1 John 4. Look at this. He says, hereby know we the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is not coming in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it is should come, and even now already is in the world. Now, as I read my Bible, I'm looking at this stuff about China and all this. I can see what's coming, man.
Sure.
It's like a freight train coming down the track. I see it coming. Because the Bible says it's coming. And look, it says, ye are of God, little children. Look at this. Talking about you and I. It's not talking about you and I. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome that of them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So God expects you as a child of God to be growing, to be yielding to his spirit on a daily basis. And if you're not yielding to his spirit on a daily, I said this last time, unclean spirits are like leeches. They'll attach to you. And they'll have a spirit of anger, spirit of jealousy, spirit of bitterness. And if a person's filled with the Holy Ghost, they can't hang on you. They can't stay. Because why? You're a living sacrifice. You're saying, God, I'm yours, and I'm yielded to you, and unclean spirits can't hold on to you. And what people do, I've had people say, I'm just angry and bitter, I'm mad. And they'll keep that thing, they'll hold on to it, and that unclean spirit just keeps sucking. And keeps sucking on them. And makes them even more bitter, makes them even more madder, makes them even more hateful. And boy, that thing will go and go and go and go. We'll see it. Unclean spirits are sensual. The Bible tells us, it's in the book of Jude. But see, unclean spirits are producing children that we see that's happening now. We got parents that have unclean spirits in their house, in their lives, and they're smoking stuff, and they're getting stuff and taking stuff, and they're having producing unclean spirits in the house, and the children are being saturated around that stuff. And the kids go to school, and man, there's all kinds of stuff. Look at this. Look in 2 Thessalonians. Look in 2 Thessalonians. Here's this book right here talks about the second coming of Jesus Christ. We're at the threshold of Jesus coming. We're right at the threshold. So how much longer, preacher? I don't know, but I know it's close.
Amen.
Yeah. Man, when you got states saying it's not murder to kill a baby even while it's just about ready to be born in the womb or even out of the womb now. When the Bible talks about Sodom and Gomorrah, and I heard a preacher say years ago, he said, when America gets below the percentage of Sodom and Gomorrah, look out. We've got, man, who would ever thought years ago that you'd have to be, all these different sex orientation things that said they're teaching in school, saying, if you want to be a president of the United States, you got to agree with all this. You got to agree with homosexuality. You got to agree with lesbianism. You got to agree with this, I feel like a woman today. LGB, whatever that is. All these, all that stuff. I mean, you got some stuff being thrown at the kids day in and day out. I'm going to tell you something, parents. If you don't pray for your kids, I feel, what a terrible parent you are. If you don't pray for your children on a daily basis, God protect them. God keep them safe. I mean, man, you think of how hard it is for you to live for God in this world, going to work every day, trying to pay your bills. You think about what the kids are going through.
That's right.
How many of you folks work in schools? Y'all work in schools. How many of you folks know what I'm talking about? You see that stuff in kids. Man, you ought to be praying. Now, look at this. I beseech you, brethren. He said, by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a plea, Paul's saying. By the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, by gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in the mind. Your mind is your battlefield. You know, the Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a what?
Sound mind.
You think everybody's plotting against you. They might be. What are you going to do about it? Prayer changes things. Amen. They plotted against Daniel. They plotted against Jeremiah. They plotted against Jesus. They plotted against John. They plotted against everybody in the Bible. He says that you be not soon shaken in mind, but nor be troubled, neither by what? Spirit. Spirit. Nor by word. I've woke up in the middle of the night, man, in a cold sweat, dreaming about stuff, thinking about stuff. And I, you know what I do? I don't go, oh, God, I can't get out of bed tomorrow morning. Oh, I just can't face tomorrow. I just can't do it. Oh, God. I get on my knees and say, oh, God, rebuke that unclean spirit. Get it away from me. You know what the devil will tell you? Just take a few drinks. You know, the Bible talks about a drunkard, you know, a little wine, just trying to forget your troubles. You don't do that. You don't pop pills to get out of your mind. And then the unclean spirits take over. He says, by spirit or by word or by letter from us, as the day of Christ is at hand, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. He says, who opposed and exalted himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, or so that he, as God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. How can you explain that the whole world hates the Jewish nation? The whole world hate the Jewish nation. You know why? Because God loved them. Anything God loves, the devil hates. Anything God loves, the world hates. Guess what? Let me tell you something. I got bad news for you. The world hates you, too. Somebody just showed me the other day. New York City, the trash cans. Trash cans now. They got a woman, a white woman, carrying a Bible. And they got a red hat on. And it's got a big X in it. It's on the trash cans. That means we don't want none of them. A woman carrying a Bible, a big X. You think, oh, man, the world loves me. I'm popular. Yes, we'll see. Look at this. He says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day should not come except if I'm falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed. The sad thing is we got Christians falling away. They're ashamed of being a Christian. And then they'll blame the church for all their problems. They blame God. They say, well, I've never blamed God for my problem. Yet if you're blaming the Word, you're not reading the Word of God, you're not going to church, you're not reading the Bible, you're blaming God. You got Christian kids raised in Christian home blaming God for their trouble. And they want an excuse. And the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 1, there ain't going to be no excuses. When you stand before God, there ain't going to be no excuses. You got the unclean spirits come in. You say, why do we sing songs this morning? I felt it when I came in here this morning. And why we sing songs? We start singing, worshiping God and praising God. The unclean spirits can't hang around. Well, guess what happens? Right after we stop singing and stuff and we start talking about the Bible, they'll come right back in here like a vacuum. You'll go out in your car. I've been in the parking lot. Me and my wife was arguing one Sunday morning. And I seen a woman come in, her and her husband arguing about what they're going to give in the church. I'm sitting in the bus reading my Bible. I was mad at my wife. She was mad at me. I'm sitting in the bus looking over there, and I seen this woman get out and her daughter, and I seen her get out behind the van and give her husband the finger, and I went, you stinking woman. I wanted to let them know I was in the bus, but then they knew I was spying on them. And I wanted to go out and slap her. Guess what? Her life's been messed up. She came to church one time since then, just a couple months ago. Life messed up. Kids all messed up. No wonder. Disobedience in a child, disobedience in parents. Look here. It says, who opposed and exalted himself above all that's called God, that is worship, or he that in the sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he's God. That's future. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things. And now ye know that withholdeth what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. So it's telling you the mystery of iniquity, unclean spirits and everything being unleashed more and more on this planet. And it says, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And when that wicked shall be revealed, whom the Lord will consume the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs, lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Now here's another thing. Parents, praying for your children and grandchildren. For this cause God shall send them strong delusions that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Take your Bible, look in 2 Kings. I wrote that reference down. Oh, where is it? 1 Kings 22. See, this is not the first time God would do that. And if a person doesn't love the truth, unclean spirits. And the Bible talks about unclean spirits going in the leaders of the world. Unclean spirits going in the leaders of this world. My God. And I think they're in them now. I think they're in them now. And it's going to get worse. You say, oh, preacher, you're supposed to be lifting us up this morning. I am. When you get your eyes open to things, you start realizing, hey, man, time is short. We need to be getting serious about God. Like I said, if you could see what's going on around you and you could see what's going on in the spirit world, it would scare you straight. It would have you saying, walking circumspectly like the Bible says. The Bible says walk circumspectly. You're careful where you go and what you do. Amen. You'll be real careful about the way you live. Why? Because your body's not your own. Right. My body's not my own. It belongs to him. But every day I have to renew that with God. God, it's yours. Look here. It came a day when there was a king named Ahab. And 1 Kings 22 and King verse 16, and the king said, on how many times have I adjured thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? Micaiah was mocking the king Ahab. Jehoshaphat and Ahab got together. They're going to go fight the Assyrians. And they call for the man of God. Isn't it something? They only call for the man of God when they're getting ready to go do something stupid. Yeah. After they've done something stupid most of the time. And it says, and he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil? And he said, Jehoshaphat was a man of God. I mean, he was a king that loved God and he feared God. But he always hooked up with the wrong people. Jehoshaphat had a habit of hooking up with the wrong people, like some of y'all. When you hook up the wrong people, they're going to take you down the wrong road. Man, you need to hook up with the right people. The Bible says, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. You need to hook up right people. As a Christian, I'll tell you this. The Bible tells us in the Old Testament, it says an oxen type of a Christian cannot be yoked up with a jackass.
Yeah. Amen.
I hate to say that word because no kids. No. But anyway, a donkey. And it says, why? Why did God say don't do that? Because the donkey would always take the oxen off course. And the oxen, no matter how hard he tries to keep that donkey on course, the oxen will try to stay on course and that donkey will pull him. And you hang around your lost friends, you hang around the bars, you hang around the drinking, you hang around the drugs, before long, they're going to pull you right back. The devil knows that. Isn't it something how after you get right with God, all your friends call you up? Right after I got right with God, man, all my buddies called me up and said, hey, man, and started offering me stuff free.
Right.
I thought, man, they must really love me. They must really care. And you know what? The devil sent that thing. You got, like I said, when you get your eyes open I didn't go, get away from me, Satan. Get thou behind me. I didn't do that. I just started witnessing them and putting God on them. Look at this. This is wild, man. This is wild. And boy, I tell you what, you get your eyes open when you start reading the Word of God, you start seeing things. And I'm going to show you some wild stuff about your prayer life. You got your spirit of man has got to yield on a daily basis to God's spirit. Why? The spirit of man is rebellious. You know, like I said last week, you ain't got to take a child and you know, let's leave the child. The Bible says the child left to himself will bring his mother to shame. You leave that child. You know, the Bible says the rod of correction. Talking about spanking them, checking them out. I mean, my daughter's Ruth and all the girls, most of the time, all I do is look at them. I go, I'm disappointed. And they start crying. They repent. And then the boys, like Josh, he was more hard-headed. I had to beat the devil out of that boy. I had to beat the devil out of him. And still didn't get it out. Finally, boys are more hard-headed. Y'all agree with that? Say amen. Man, I ain't gonna have time to finish this, but I got so much here. My Lord. And the king said, the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah. The king of Israel was Ahab. Jehoshaphat, good king. He was a good king. But he always hooked up the wrong people. And you know what? I'm gonna say this while I'm there. Some of y'all are hooked up with some people that they're telling you junk and messing your head. And you'll listen to that stuff, and you'll get a bitter attitude. I could tell it when, like I said, I could tell when you come in. You get a bitter attitude. You got a chip on your shoulder. God have mercy on you. You pass that down. Like I said, if a person's walking in the spirit, they ain't worried about that junk. Talk about me all you want. I don't care. Y'all talk about me anyway. Amen. I still love you. But don't let me hear. No. Look at verse 19. And he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on the throne. Check this out. And all the hosts of heaven. Somebody called me about this passage. Standing by him on his right hand and on his left. Doc used to always teach us in Bible school. He said this. He said, everything you see down here is represented up there. Up there, God sees the whole thing. Yeah, I'll tell you something even crazier. God sees you already up there, according to the Bible. And look at this. He said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, and all the hosts of heaven standing by him on the right hand and on the left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said on this hand matter, and another said on that matter. I know it had been Michael the archangel. Michael the archangel, he's standing there by God. Michael the archangel is a fighting angel. He's a bad dude. You talk about, you know, Leroy Brown, the old song you used to have in the world, old Leroy Brown, you know, baddest man in the whole town. Leroy Brown ain't got nothing, nothing on Michael the archangel. Michael the archangel will tear the hide off 185,000 men in one shot. 185,000. One shot. I can see Michael saying, let me go down and take his head off, Lord. The Lord says, no, that's too simple. And Gabriel, whenever Gabriel shows up, he just talks. He showed up when Jesus showed up. And he was when Jesus was born, Gabriel's talking and singing. Gabriel's shouting. And Gabriel's not the fighter. Michael is. Michael's the fighter. You said God got fighting angels? God got some bad boys. I'm telling you what, he got some bad boys. And you don't want to mess with them. I can imagine them angels at the cross when Jesus hanging on the cross. Michael came down, he probably saying, God, let me kill them all. Let me kill them all. I'll take them all out. I'll wipe out Rome. I'll wipe them out. And Noah said, no, that ain't my plan. Michael killed 185,000 men one night. You say, where's that? It's in the Bible. If you read your Bible, you find it. There's nuggets in the Word of God. And us men, we like that kind of stuff. I'm going to go up to Michael and say, hey, brother, how you doing, man? Good to meet you. Read a lot about you, man. Nope. All right. All right, Michael. I'm cool with you, baby. Michael be saying, talk right, boy. I'm going to tell you something else. Jesus Christ wasn't no pushover. And the Bible says, the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab? The Lord already knows. If you read your Bible, the whole thing's laid out. The whole history of mankind and what's going to happen is laid out. And guess what? If you're saved, you're on the winning side. But are you going to have any victories down here? Are you going to be fighting alongside? I'm talking about, the Bible tells us we're in a battle. We're in a fight. Most Christians say, what are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. They're stupid, man. They just walk around, I don't know if there's a battle. I'm just trying to make a living, man. I'm just trying to make money. No, you're in a battle. And the battle is over your family, your children. It's over, man, you living for God and showing the Lord, I mean, man, that you're worth saving. You ain't got, you know, the Lord's going to save you anyway if you call on him. But I want to say, hey, Lord, I love you. You know what Jesus told Peter? He on John chapter 21, look it up. He's sitting there, and Peter says, I go fishing. He just gets upset. He goes out because he didn't get his way. He didn't get his way. Sometimes we don't get our way. I'm going to go back and do what I want to do. And Jesus comes down on the shore and goes, children, Peter cut an ear off the high priest. His servant cuts his ear off. Peter, man, he was going to kill everybody. And Jesus comes out, children. Yeah. They're sitting in the boat. Peter goes, who's that on there? Sure. This is after his resurrection. Jesus goes, children, have you caught any meat? Who is that idiot on the shore telling us that we caught anything? I've been out here all night long. He says, cast your net on the right side. And then when they do it, Peter goes, there ain't no other than Jesus. The Bible says he took off his coat. He was naked, jumped in the water, swam to the shore. As soon as he gets to the shore, as soon as he gets there, Jesus sitting there by a fire. He's got a fire cooking. He said, how do you like your fish? They all sit down. The Bible says they didn't say a word. We were on the shore of Galilee. I could see that. Jesus, they're on the shore with the fish in the pan. Where did he get the pan? Was it Pampered Chef? Linda sold it to him. And the Bible says they all sat around him. They knew who they were dealing with. God. You know who you're dealing with? You're dealing with God. You're God's child.
Yes, sir.
And Jesus says, you love me? Everybody's quiet. Do you love me? He looks right at Peter. You love me? Feed my sheep. You love God? You say you love God? How you help feeding the sheep? How you helping the sheep? All you want to do is beat them? You love him? You going to do what he said? If you don't, you got a different spirit. Look at this. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one said on this matter, another on that matter. And there came forth a spirit. Now check it out. We know who that spirit is. And stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth, and I will be a lion spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. Who do you think that was? The devil himself. And he said, thou shalt persuade him, prevail also. Go forth. See, let me tell you something. The devil can't do nothing to you unless he gets God's permission. Only if you break the hedge and you go out and you start fooling with unclean spirits. I've had people come to me crying and say, will you go to my house? Pray over my house. I said, why? They said, my daughter woke up screaming. There was a thing standing at the end of her bed. And said, one person told me that thing was on top of him trying to strangle him. You watch all these movies. Don't you know the devil's crowd prays over that stuff and asks God to damn people to hell? They want to see people die and go to hell.
Yep.
We're supposed to be giving people life. Life from the Word of God. A lying spirit. You know what? You know how all these religions, people say, how do all these religions get started? Most all the false cults are lying spirits. You judge things by the Word of God. You know, take your Bible, look in Galatians. Look at this. We have to stop. I mean, it's already time. I got a couple pages here. I got a couple pages. Galatians chapter 5. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. The Bible says arm yourself. It says arm yourself. How do you arm yourself? Try the Spirit to know whether of God or not. You got young people sitting around killing themselves. They say, I don't want to live. I hate you. I hate my mom. I hate my dad. You think that's God's spirit? I hate anything good. That ain't God's spirit. If I was you as a parent and you got a kid like that, I'd start fasting and praying. God, get a hold of my child. God, get a hold of him. Look at this. Galatians chapter 5, and like I said, we just scratching the surface right now. It says, flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. It's talking about the Holy Spirit. Your flesh, see, the spirit inside of man will control the body. It controls the body. And the spirit will, a spirit start whispering in your ear of man and start telling the man, you need to do this. And there's a lustful spirit, there's a sexual spirit, there's a spirit of damnation, there's a spirit of bitterness, there's all kinds of, it'll control your body. It'll control this, where the Bible says God should control it. And if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, that unclean spirit, you'll say, get out of here. I've gone down the road, and I'm not kidding, I listen to singing, or I'll sing myself. Why? Because unclean spirits can't be around when God's Spirit's there. They want to flee. They want to get away. So you start singing and praising God, and you start always trying to think about serving the Lord, that unclean spirits can't hang around. They'll run away from you. That's why we sang when we came in here. Look at this. Verse 16 of chapter 5. It says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. So it's a fellowship with the Word of God, reading the Word of God, talking to the Lord. I mean, constantly. The Bible tells us pray without ceasing. Lord, don't let me mess up. God, watch over my family today. I'll tell you this. When my wife got in that accident that day at our house in year 2000, Rocky Burris got killed in our driveway. I was driving down 13. I felt real heavy inside me. And I felt real heavy. Something was wrong. Something was wrong. I went, God, what's wrong? And God, what's wrong? So I called home. And a girl named Sheena, the phone was busy. We didn't have, I had a cell phone. But I kept calling because I felt so heavy about it. And I called home and Sheena answered the phone and she's crying. I said, Sheena, what, are you on the phone? What are you doing on the phone? She said, Miss Ryman was in an accident, and I knew that's what God wanted me to pray about right then. That guy was killed in our driveway. I want to tell you this, what God did. I went to the funeral and apologized to the family. Mike Moore was alive. He said, you're not going by yourself. I said, I'm going by myself. I'll be fine. Mike said, I'm going with you. I went in there, passed out tracts. Everybody told him I was sorry. I hugged the mother. That woman, the sister, came up here one Sunday. and walked the aisle down here, got on her knees and prayed. And I don't know if she got saved then or not, but she got up and she said, she looked at me. She said, "You know who I am?" I said, "No, your face looks familiar." She said, "I'm Rocky's sister." And she started crying and hugged me. I was preaching a funeral here. Rocky's brother and mother was here. Even though in the middle of the trial, God was in it. God was in the middle of our trial. My wife and I cried for 3 days. We thought, she said, "I sent somebody to hell." I cried. She was crying. I was crying with her. She said, "I sent somebody to hell. I sent somebody to hell." And finally, after 3 days, a preacher knocked on our door. See, God will send you comfort. A preacher knocked on our door and said, "I just wanted to come by and tell you, I led Rocky to the Lord a month ago." God will take care of his own, give you comfort. Look at this. "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh." There's a constant battle, folks. "These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery." My wife and I got saved. We decided we're going to do what's right. We were together, living, sleeping together and all that stuff. And we were doing that stuff, and we said, "We need to do what's right." We got married. Every time we came to a step in our life, we wanted to yield to God's Spirit. Whatever God wanted us to do, what was right, we did it. You want to know how you walk in the Spirit? You do what's right when it's right to do. And do it. We got married. We said, "We're going to raise our kids for the Lord. We're going to do what's right." We got into bus ministry. We started just trying to live for God. You said, "You did everything perfect?" No way. Look at this. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murders." You got murder in your heart? "Drunkenness, reviling of such like, of which I tell you before." "I have told you before, time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." The devil doesn't want you to get an inheritance. You want to know who your enemy is? It's not your husband, not your wife. It's not your kids. It's the world, the flesh, and the devil. You're your own worst enemy. You need to yield to the Spirit of God. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is" what? "Love, joy, peace." We've read this a million times. "Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. For they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Then it goes on down, verse chapter 6 says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness." Spirit. You're either walking in the Spirit or you're listening to something else. Like I said, you pick up spirits by what you hear. And then see, what happens to a Christian, I got all this scripture. But what happens to a Christian, you'll come to a crossroads. And the Lord say, and the Lord, he'll leave you there. You'll come to a crossroads in your life, and the Lord say, "Okay, you're at a crossroads. What are you going to do?" Most of us go, "Eeny, meeny, miny, moe, I was going to go where I want to go." That's what we do.
Yeah.
But what the Lord wants you to do is say, "Lord, the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God, will you direct my steps?" Why? Because the Bible says the devil puts snares out for you. He watches, you know, they always say people, you know, they scope out houses during the day to rob them. And people, they watch people. They watch their habits. The devil watches. Why? So he can take everything away from you. And he'll put a snare out for you. So if you come to a crossroads in your life, "Lord, I don't know which way to go. What should I do about this job? What should I do about where I move? What should I do about this house? What should I do about this? What should I do about that? God, help me. I'm ignorant, Lord. I don't know. Then you wait. Lord, show me. And you wait until he shows you. But you know what we do? We just go, I'm just going to go. And just do what you want to do and make a mess. Wait on the Lord. Be of good cheer. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You wait on God. And say, Lord, you said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I want to walk in the Spirit. Show me. If you'll do that, guess what? If it goes wrong, you can blame him. If things go wrong and God directs you one way and it goes wrong, you can blame him. But guess what? If you're walking in the Spirit, you should not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And God will direct you in the right way. God doesn't make mistakes. When that Bible says in Romans 8, 28, we know all things work together for good to them that love God. So I don't understand this, Lord. I don't understand why I'm going through this. But you said all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. God will work it out. What I want to do as a pastor is to teach you that wait on God. Walk in the Spirit. We come in here, Sunday morning, we try to get it up as high as we can. Why? Because you come in here, man, you got all kinds of burdens. You got things you're carrying.
Yeah.
You got all this stuff going on in your life. You're trying to make a living. You're trying to provide for your family. You want nicer things for your family. Don't sell out God to get it.
Amen.
Honor him. You know, the Bible says, you honor him, he'll honor you.
Hallelujah.
Well, this is not the spirits yet. I got a whole couple pages. But we'll stop right there. We got to. Father, I pray, God, now, Lord, help my brothers and sisters in Christ. Help me as a pastor. Father, help my brothers and sisters. Lord, my job, I want to help